This is Rackadix After Hours.
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, thank you for tuning in to Rack Addicts After Hours episode 152. If you don't know why you're here, it's because it's a music and technology podcast, so I hope you like some of those things. So we're going to waffle and it's going to be fun, but first, Pete, what have you been doing these past several days of not seeing each other?
Right, well, I have been doing lots more listing of items for sale.
Ooh, yes, indeed.
And also, I've been getting my head together ready for Christmas.
Have you had any more scams on the eBay and Facebook Marketplace front?
No, but only because that item actually sold
and
has gone. So the FP30 was bought by a...
Of course, there it isn't.
...lovely gentleman that came along with his son from Kent.
Oh, wow, long way.
I know, it was exactly what they wanted.
Mm, perfect.
And we had a good old chat. They had plenty of time to try out the instrument. Yeah, it was great.
Excellent.
Paid me straight away and took it away. So I really have to say that the Facebook Marketplace is quite a good vehicle for selling items of a certain nature. I'm not sure about really technical items, but certainly things like digital pianos are really...
That's how we sold ours, yeah.
And also I noticed there's all sorts of things on there that I'm almost tempted to inquire about, but that doesn't seem right.
I mean, at least you're going to be going somewhere and looking at the thing, so there's a little bit of security there in a sense.
Well, there's two items and I'm almost tempted, but I'm thinking, do I really need them? But they do seem incredibly underpriced, I want to say.
Do
so
tell.
One of them was a Moog Voyager.
Haven't you already got one?
Yeah, I've got a rack mount one, but this is the full Moog Voyager with a keyboard. And it was the electric blue version of it.
Oh yeah, doesn't that have loads of LEDs and stuff?
Well, they all light up, but this one is black and then it all lights up blue LEDs.
Yeah, I think I've seen it in many a Dead Mouse video.
Yes, he's got two. He's got the normal one and he's got that...
The gold one. Didn't Kat Von D buy that? The tattoo artist from LA Inc.
Possibly. I know that he was in a relationship with her. But no, it's a bit bling, isn't it?
It's just a bit. Can you imagine the fingerprints?
Yes.
No thanks.
Anyway, this one is for sale on the Facebook Marketplace and I think they want £1,700 for it, which doesn't seem quite right.
I mean, are you thinking you would have expected it to be more inflated given that it's kind of a classic in a way?
Yeah, I would expect it to be almost double that.
Is it the big one?
Well, it's not the XL, which has got the Mooga Frooga,
the patch thing
expander already on it. But no, it's the full... I think he's actually got the patch thing, but the separate one in the box. I think that's part of the deal. And no one seems to be biting. I mean, he did state that there is a little issue where the LEDs start fading, but I'm sure it's easily remedied. But yes, incredibly cheap.
I'm just going to check on the old Reverb, see what they have gone for recently.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, what's the catch?
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Okay, so what have we got? Lots of UK, $3,000, $3,200, $3,500, $3,245, $3,500, $1,219 in France. Somebody got a screamer of a deal. $3,800, $3,600. You got a point there then.
Yeah, exactly.
Mad.
So I was sort of tempted to just grab it and repair it and maybe flip it or flip the rack one I've got.
Then you'd have a logistical problem, my friend.
Yes. Well, I've got a logistical problem anyway.
Yeah.
But also, there's a Jupiter 8 on there.
No way.
Yeah, and it's $3,500.
Surely not. They go for like 20.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Suspish.
But it's the same deal. Come and collect it. Give us money.
I assume you'd be able to test it while you're there.
You would have to.
Okay, let's do the same thing. Sold Jupiter 8s on Reverb. Okay, actually, it's nowhere near as bad as I thought. Okay, we have sold on Reverb in the US, so currency converted, $4,790, $9,500 non-functioning from Indonesia. I wouldn't have wanted that shipped anywhere. The US, $19,700. Another non-functioning from Indonesia, $12,800. $19,700 from France. Was it
$3,500.
Got to be a catch there.
And it hasn't gone. It's just sat there. So possibly it is. But
everybody's just going,
Yeah, I don't see. Possibly it's one of these things that when you contact them, whatever the feedback in the way of information puts you straight off.
Right.
There'll be something in it that doesn't smell right at all.
Yeah.
But it's been there for a few.
I acquired this in suspicious circumstances and it definitely isn't stolen.
It's been there for a few weeks. Having said that, I don't really want one.
A bit overhyped, do you reckon?
Definitely.
And really big as well.
Yes. I mean, do they? I can't remember they even have MIDI on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know offhand.
I don't think they do.
It's probably quite a good space heater and not at all an efficient one.
No onboard effects.
Mm. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And it's potentially 40 years old, so who knows? I mean, it does state this in fully functional condition, but...
Could implode at the slightest sneeze.
Yeah, and then suddenly cost you a lot of money to try definitely. And service and so forth. Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of that. I've also got a little bit of a naughty secret.
Mm.
I've been binge watching Wednesday on Netflix.
Oh, unexpected. Why? How? What, well, not how. Why?
Yes, I mean, on first looking, you'd think, well, that's definitely not for my...
No, I wouldn't have thought that you'd go for it. Do you like the sort of, do I want to call them classic films?
I have watched them, and I've watched a lot of the TV series,
right.
And they did a cartoon series, recently. Yeah, sort of resurrected it, as it's the... I can't remember if it's Warner Brothers or who owns the intellectual property.
One of the big ones,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, one of the studios. But no, I thought, oh, I'll give it a little watch. And then I suddenly got pulled in and binged the whole lot.
Well, how many episodes is it? Like 12 or something?
I want to say 8, but quite frankly, I can't remember.
They flashed past so quickly.
Well, they do seem to pass really quickly. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but it is all sort of based around a kind of mystery, and it is a bit Harry Potterish, I want to say, in the way they've done it. There is a few things where you go, oh, that seems to have been lifted from there. The whole feel of it anyway seems to be very popular. I mentioned it to a few of the colleagues in the store, and it seems they're all watching it as well. So I think a lot of people are secretly
might have to give it a sniff then.
Yes, I mean, you kind of think, oh, is this really, this is meant for sort of...
Yeah, I don't know what the demographic's going to be on that one.
Well, initially I thought it's just going to be a kind of teen thing. Well, I did catch my daughter watching it earlier today.
Oh yeah,
and she's nearly 30.
Was she instantly hooked, or just went...
I had heard a few reviews of it, and it was a bit so to speak, and then it got quite a good Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh yeah, tomatoes.
I said, well,
where are you from?
I know. Well, that's every time I hear someone mention that particular listing, that's how they pronounce it. So
really?
I heard it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, tomatoes, of course, favorite vegetable. It's a fruit, actually, isn't it? Anyway,
yes. So yeah, I'd recommend it.
Hmm.
It's not my multimedia recommendation for this week, as I've already got one of those. But yes, it was a bit of a little secret pleasure watching it.
Good stuff.
And it is well done.
Wonderful. I shall inform you, of course, of my week. Yes, so as you mentioned, your Christmas shopping is on, and it is, of course, the Christmas season for dinners and get-togethers before the holiday. The Squash Club dinner is afoot. It's this Friday, and I have been warned of the legends, and apparently it gets a bit messy. So, I think there's 5 teams, and each team has to bring a different part of the meal. I think the second team is in charge of cheese, the first team is in charge of port, and the fifth team, I can't remember what the ones in between were, but the fifth team is in charge of toffee vodka, which seemed to me to be specific. So I asked about it, and apparently it's for the kind of tournament squash that you play before the dinner. And I mentioned before, we get fined in our team for swearing or losing or other such things. In this tournament at the Christmas dinner, you get fined in shots for the same things. So before you've had dinner, you may well have had quite a lot of vodka. And it gets messier from there, apparently. There was a marshmallow fight last year, I heard. I'll report back once I've recovered.
Vicious stuff, marshmallow fights.
So I'm a little wary, but we'll see how that goes. To re-pass on or re-mention or something eloquent like that, a recommendation from Luke way back when, the Culture series by Ian M. Banks. I did something that I haven't done for a very long time, which was read over 3/4 of a book in one sitting because I was that gripped by it until the early hours of the morning. I haven't done that since I was a teenager. It was good fun. That was The Player of Games, the second in the series. Not that the order matters very much, but oh my, I'm on the third one, and I'm very excited. So thank you, Luke, for getting me back into that series.
So you're going to steam the whole series?
Oh, I've got to. I was at home, and I knew I owned some of the books in physical form rather than Kindle, so I went to go find them. I have the 3rd, 5th, and the last one, I think the 10th or something. I'm not sure how I got them in that order, but it's going to be good. Looking forward to the reread. Finally, the most exciting thing, I think, was I have finally seen P-Gypt live. That's Telmo's band, if you remember Telmo from previous podcast episodes. And it was great. Part of the Guildford Jazz series of events at Boiler Room, a nice small venue in Guildford Town. It was good stuff. So they had a full band. It was Inesh, Telmo, and then keys, drums, bass. It was wondrous. They played some originals, some covers. The rhythm section was going off. Some excellent solos from everybody involved. Ooh, they had a saxophone player as well. Did I mention that? It was great. So I'm glad to have finally seen them. I think Ollie was there as well. Andy was there too. I ran into him. And basically everybody from the shop. So it was nice.
Excellent. Mm. So going back to the Christmas theme, how Christmassy do you get in your house?
It began later and later every year, post school age, I think. But the usual decoratings and things, we sort of absorbed family traditions from both of my parents' directions. So we ended up having a few weird ones. We used to live in Kent by the sea, so we invented a new one, which was our Christmas Eve meal was to go and freeze our butts off eating fish and chips by the sea in the evening. We also have, we sort of have a present on Christmas Eve and Boxing Day. Those were both traditions from the other families. We have a themed Christmas tree. So, you know, it'll be one colour. It'll have edible things on it, stuff like that.
A different theme every year?
Every year, different theme. We can reuse themes. It doesn't have to be completely fresh. Since I've moved out, less and less Christmassy. And my partner was vegan, so we had to do something different for our first Christmas when we were trapped at home because of the pandemic.
Was vegan?
Was, is no longer, which is great for me because we can eat and cook more exciting things.
Fully non-vegetarian or...?
She won't go for red meat or pork. I don't know where that sits on the colour of meat scale. And originally didn't go for dairy because of a developed lactose intolerance, but now gets those little lactase enzyme tablets and just has cheese anyway, which is hilarious.
We can always buy the lacto-free stuff.
It's pretty good. We've been having a lot of lactose-free halloumi. Really nice.
Well, I'd recommend the lacto-free milk to anyone.
Mmm.
It really tastes like normal milk. Kind of weird. It's not like UHT or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it keeps for at least a month.
Not bad.
And it's about the same price. Mm.
Something I haven't thought to try. We've been on the alternative milk game for so long that we just like oat milk anyway. But it doesn't foam very well for coffee and stuff. So good point, Pete. We'll have a look into that one.
And I would go for the Sainsbury's own brand.
Is that, from your testing, is that your favourite?
Well, there is a branded one, and it's a good 50% more expensive.
Mm. Do they do different fat levels?
Yes, all three.
Ah.
Blue, red, and green.
Got to look into that. Good tip. Thank you, Pete. But yes, so we did Japanese food. We cooked up a Japanese feast on Christmas Day that first time, which I think we're going to try and carry that one on as our Christmas thing, because she doesn't really like roasts and I don't really want to deal with the turkey when there's only two of us or a crown or something.
Certainly. Do you do the tree thing at your new apartment?
Unfortunately, because the cats are still at a destructive age, I thought not. They will go for flowers, plants, everything. And so what I've done, they've finally started ignoring my big cactus. It's in a pot with a pot stand, but it's maybe 4 foot tall, something like that. So I've put lights on that and hung a little star on it. So that's going to be our Christmas tree. We did some sort of paper chains and paper snowflakes and things yesterday, but that's it for our Christmassiness. What about you?
No, I'm a bit bar humbug these days.
Oh, dear. I can see myself going that way, to be honest.
Well, when the children were children, it was very much all about, for them, you know, the tree, presents under the tree, the whole thing. And years ago, there was the in-laws and the family and everything else was much larger in the respect of that type of thing.
Much bigger occasion.
Yes. So there was a lot of big family get-togethers. But as years have ticked by, and unfortunately a lot of the older generation have passed on, that's waned. And to the point where none of it happens at all now.
Mm.
And it will just be me and a couple of people through Christmas. Yeah. And I would imagine I won't even have a tree unless my daughter insists on it.
But it is a hassle and a lot of hoovering.
Having said that, she's going to be in France skiing anyway. Yeah. So most probably no tree.
Mm.
And I certainly don't hang any lights on the outside of the house, even though I've got them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll be energy bill this time, won't it?
Yeah, exactly. It will be a big draw.
Mm.
We'll have to see what people do, because some people won't be able to resist.
Yeah, we've got battery-powered ones, and we were shopping for a few decorations in Wilko, I think, and on their display, they had a little sign going, did you know it costs less than 1p a second or something? I don't know what the thing was. Obviously trying to entice people and allay that fear so they can make a sale, but I don't know.
Yeah, I can see the tree lights and the icicle lights and all the other lighting decorations that you can buy this time of year. I can imagine that a lot of retailers are going to have lots of residual stock.
Yeah, especially there's loads of battery-powered lights and the little things, the kind of big garden ornaments and huge strings and the really big lights. That's definitely going to be tricky.
Yeah, the sort of lit prancing reindeer type
things. Yeah, exactly. The motorized ones or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think eventually it won't exist in my family in the way that it does, but I do enjoy it as an occasion to see people, eat some food that you normally don't, drink a bit too much during the day, and just actually mostly it's the continuous eating and excuse to stay in your pajamas and things like that that I quite enjoy.
Yeah, I appreciate that type of thing, and I appreciate the socializing as well. So I will be engaging somewhat, but I'll be working right up through Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah.
So I will only be off on Christmas Day and Boxing Day,
the official ones for the state ordered holidays, whatever you want to call them.
Well, they're bank holidays.
That's the word that I totally forgot. Bank.
Yeah. So this year the actual holidays are Monday and Tuesday, even though Christmas Eve is Saturday and Christmas Day is Sunday.
Yes, we get those extras, don't we?
Yes, so they all hang over. But having said that, so many businesses open even on bank holidays. The store will be open.
Yep.
With all those people returning the things that they got bought for Christmas.
Exactly. Would you like a gift receipt with that?
Yes. So, Christmas.
Well, I can only hope that I have some of these synthesizer-y type things in my stocking this year. What a terrible segue. I hate it and I want to undo it. Never mind. ALM, Busy Circuits, we do like them. We talked about the Pamela's Pro Workout last week or the one before, I can't remember. But there is also a tidy, medium-sized mixer from them called the Megatang. That didn't resonate as much as I liked. Megatang. Pete, give it a go. Give us some resonance.
Megatang.
Ooh, yeah, love it. Okay, four channels, and in classic vertical orientation, you have input, levels, CV jack, that's nice, VCAs on them. Interestingly, the next pot is labelled sends, but there is only one send, I think. You then have a pans, and then levels. I don't like the plurality of those labels. Anyway, so input, level CV, send potentiometer, pan pot, big level pot, an LED, and a mute per channel. Four channels. Basic stuff. The only problem is, depending on how regular you like your layouts, is that the pan row is offset slightly to the left, the sends row is offset slightly to the right, and one of the levels jacks is not in line with the rest in their press photos, and it's been driving everybody insane. I assume it's because it's a prototype or something, but the slight offset nature is rather infuriating. I'm not sure if you'll be able to see that from over there, Pete.
Yeah, it sort of does something to you, doesn't it, optically?
It's just a bit wobbly. See, I'm not sure if they're going to change that, but there we are. So you've got direct outs for each channel, which is kind of cool. Stereo out and a mono send stereo return. Good stuff. Do we have a price? I hear you ask. Megatang, $299. So also great British points. I don't actually know anybody who has the Tip Top Buchla stuff. I would like to try it, but there is more. The 266T, which is the classic and to some extent iconic source of uncertainty modulation module. Quite a chunky one. It's practically square, so what's that going to be? 16, 18, 20 HP? I'm not too sure. Anyway, in true Buchla-ish fashion, it's a little tricky to read, but let's see what you've got. You have a noise source, which has flat, minus 3 decibels per octave and plus 3 decibels per octave, which I think are pink and white, but I'm not sure in which order. And flat might be the one that's equal weighting per octave, but I can't remember what that one's called. Is that blue? Is it brown? I've no idea. Noise is confusing. Either way, three variations of. You have fluctuating random voltages times two. One. Are they different from the other? Nope, they are both the same. It appears. Sample and hold? I don't know what those are. You then have a pulse in with alternating outputs or something. Two of those in the sample and hold circuit. I don't know. It has a sample and hold section anyway. You then have quantized and stored random voltages as well as an integrator, and they all seem confusing. I would like to watch a video on it and understand what these are.
So how many Buchla style modules are Tip Top Audio now producing?
Let's find out, shall we? Okay, so we have the sequential voltage source, quad function generator. I was wondering what you're doing, but yeah, thank you. I can't count and talk at the same time. Source of uncertainty, dual voltage processor, quad low-pass gate, and dual oscillator. But I feel like there's more.
I thought there was only three initially.
Yeah, first batch, I think, was a trio. But that appears to be the lot as far as modular grid's concerned. Yes, what was that? Was that five, six, seven?
Six.
Six. And I assume there will be more. But there we are. That one is available soon. What's more interesting to me is that Akira, who you may know from episode 63, which you reckon was that 2-odd years ago, Pete?
Yeah, around that time.
It's a good while. Actually, why am I asking you? I can see the dates on the thing right in front of my face. March 2021. Yeah, more than a year ago. Anyway, that's where Akira's from, and also ModCaf. But they are doing the Buchla thing properly. Big styly. And we get to follow along on the ModCaf Discord. So these are, I think, DIY... Well, I know they're DIY kits, but I think they're from SA Modular. Don't know who or where that is. And the modules are 292 quad low-pass gate, the 281... 266, which is the one that Tip Top Audio just released, and 257, which is the dual voltage processor. Oh, it's weird. I was just looking at these in Tip Top Audio format, and here they are in DIY Buchla format, but it's pretty cool. And hopefully those will grace a ModCaf one day. Akira doesn't actually have banana cables yet, so has used just solid core wire and wedged them into the banana jacks with heat shrink, which has worked, apparently. But there we go. And the boat is, what's that going to be, a 4-unit boat, I think. But that is a tidy little system that can start making noises. And knowing Akira's creativity, they're going to be some pretty cool noises, I reckon. It's good stuff. I did add all of those modules to my cart on the SA Modular website. Do you want to place a guess at how much it would be to buy those 4 modules and a boat, all DIY, full kits.
Full kits, and are they the same size as Buchla?
Yeah, the 5U, but yeah, genuine Buchla, all compatible.
Not cheap, I suspect. So how many modules in total?
That's 4.
4 modules and a boat?
Yes.
I'll say £3,500.
1,800. Well, I think that's euros, but still relatively close, so...
Yeah, well, that's...
Cheaper than you might have thought.
Yeah, exactly, cheaper than I might have thought.
I can only imagine considerably cheaper than actually Buchlaring it. Let's add that up, shall we? Okay, half of these aren't available on KMR. It's the old POA, one of those, so I don't know how much they are. But here we have, which was the one I could actually see, the quad low-pass gate, classic reissue.
Price on application.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. Price on application. But we do have the quad low-pass gate classic reissue, genuine Buchla, which is on its own, no power, no nothing. $1,199.
For one module.
For one module. And then the dual voltage processor, which is essentially some attenuvertery stuff, is £800 on its own. So I think Akira's doing pretty well on the cash front there.
Yes.
That's some savings.
Yes, it is.
And I don't really want to think about the 200E series. What have we got here? There was a comparable one somewhere that I scrolled past.
A complete system.
I'll get those in a second because that's painful. Oh, yeah, so the 200E... source of uncertainty is... Oh, wait, no. So the 200E Quad Dynamics Manager, which is the kind of low-pass gate, quad low-pass gate equivalent, I think, is $1,300. So it's even more expensive if you get the newer ones. Okay. You asked, Pete. Let's have a look at the full systems. My favorite one to do. Sort by price, high to low. Okay. What's your kind of point of entry? Okay, so I think it will probably be the Easel Command, which is the top half of a music easel in a powered boat with no fancy keyboard. Place your bets.
$4,500.
$3,500, so not too bad. But then we also have the Buchla Skylab, which I think is kind of the sort of the flagship pre-made system that they advertise, for 17,000.
Ouch.
Ouch indeed. One day we might understand why, but I'm not too sure.
I've got to believe it is truly all hand built.
I would hope so. I'm quite excited to hear the stuff Akira's made, because there was something to that Wing Pinger demo. Something. Excluding the demo, but in terms of just the sound quality of it, it had a something.
What it does do, it really emphasizes the value proposition that the Tip Top Audio offering.
Definitely, and that's Buchla sanctioned as well.
Yes.
Signed off on.
So you've got to imagine that the design is identical, although being in a smaller format, so in theory it's going to sound exactly the same.
The one thing I don't know about the Tip Top Buchla stuff is if they went in and changed the voltage ranges and stuff, because in a Buchla system you can damage things by putting a voltage in the wrong place, and Eurorack typically you can't. So
yeah, so there might be some adjustments there that wouldn't necessarily affect how it sounds, though, would it?
Hopefully not. Okay, there are some changes, apparently, according to the famous forum ModWiggler, but I don't think you'd be immune to potentially breaking something. I think most people's concern lies in sort of passive mixing, you know, just sticking a bunch of outputs together in a mult or something, which is kind of a bad idea anyway. So use your brain, and hopefully you won't fry your new Tip Top Audio stuff.
Okay, so the watchword is to proceed with caution.
Exactly. Proceed carefully. That brings us to the end of what newsworthy stuff we could find in the synthesizery world today. That means it's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation, and I'm going to kick it off with a fun one. If you know the musician Devin Townsend, good. If you don't, you might not like his music, but there is an excellent example of how to be a brilliant frontman. If you search on YouTube, Devin Townsend Crowd, you should find a video from 5 years ago called Devin Townsend Keeps Everyone Entertained at Barcelona B-Prog. So, they had a show, which I think was probably part of a tour at a festival in Spain, and technical difficulties ensued for a bit over 15 minutes. And this was a show which relied quite heavily on backing tracks because of lots of orchestral type bits and pieces. And it all goes horribly wrong, and of course it is down to the frontman to entertain the crowd, and there is only one way to do it properly, and Devin Townsend does it, so I would advise you watch it. It's hilarious. There we go.
Okay, me next then.
Certainly. Take it away.
Right, I would normally say this is a little YouTube channel that I've found recently.
Is it not?
Well, it is a YouTube channel, but it's not little.
Aha.
Have you ever come across this particular channel called Action Lab?
Maybe.
He does have 4.23 million followers.
More possibly.
Anyway, it's a sort of sciencey, experimental, let's do this or that thing. It comes across a bit hokey, a bit kind of amateurish, but it isn't. It's just the way it's done. So it's made to look very...
Yeah.
Experiments done in the gentleman's kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And so forth. He does have access to hydraulic presses and other things. And if you actually read it or read the description, you realise there's a lot more in the background that than you would get if you just watch one or two episodes. Basically describes that the Action Lab is a channel dedicated to performing exciting experiments and answering questions you never thought to ask. I'll put things in my hydraulic press, vacuum chamber, and perform countless other experiments just to watch cool phenomena.
Awesome.
And although it does come across, as I say, a bit hokey, this gentleman actually does have a PhD.
Oh, wonderful.
But yeah, so I can't really say much more. You just have to go and watch it. So that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Action Lab.
Oh yeah, we've got some quantum locking videos, how to make fried water. That sounds interesting. Awesome. Well, of course, thank you for sharing your bath time with us. We assume that's what you're doing, of course. Or maybe you're asleep and you aren't hearing a single word I'm saying. Good for you. I think you're profiting there. Anyway, we'll catch you in the next episode. Farewell.